Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from thehammerspeaks.com, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just two Daves talking all the Steelers football you could ever want. And now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the most comprehensive Steelers site on the internet. And I'm David Todd of ESPN Pittsburgh. How about that, Dave?
Yeah, you're in Montana right now.
And I'm in Montana. How about that?
This is I told everybody you're in Oregon on the wrap-up podcast last night.
I was talking to people in Oregon, but I'm in Montana. My virgin trip to the – what state is this?
Big Sky.
The Big Sky State. That's Stacy Wunsch. She's now made an appearance on a Terrible Podcast. Dave, here we go. It's 7:30 in the morning out here. I finally missed a day of training camp, and I'm going to miss the last one today in Latrobe. But we got a lot of news in the last 24 hours, and I know you wrapped up some of it last night, but let's go over it because I think it's worth talking about. The first – and, you know, I think the most important, obviously, is the James Harrison surgery. Mike Byers breaks the story that his agent says, you know, he might have his knee looked at. Well, not only did he have it looked at Wednesday morning, he went down and had it scoped in Pittsburgh. I'm not sure the Steelers have said definitively kind of what their time frame is, but you have all along said, you know, these injuries, and you tend to be a lot more cautious on these injuries than I do. And in this one, you turned out to be right. Thank God it's not microfracture surgery. And it should just be 3 to 4 weeks, but what's your take?
First of all, I'm not convinced that there's not I still don't want to rule that out long term, but let me tell you what a source told me, and I told the folks last night on the wrap-up podcast this. It was a bone spur behind the kneecap, and many people, you know, if people have ever had runner's knee or you want to Google that and know how painful it can be and you know, everything else that goes along with it. Now, supposedly, too, now Keith Butler came out and Allen Robinson of the Pittsburgh Tribune Review reported on Twitter yesterday that Butler said, you know, used the word setback, that this is not, you know, James has had a few setbacks during this rehab process.
Yeah, so, and I think I don't find that surprising, do you? Because, I mean, if everything went well, we would expect him to be on the field by now.
Yeah, I mean, and that would explain why they held off with surgery so long, I think, you know, because I think runner's knee sometimes can be cured with rest and relaxation.
Right. You take in anti-inflammatories and that can go away.
But on top of it, though, you got to remember this is a guy that only has one speed also. And, you know, he very well could have overdone it getting this thing back. Now, there are rumblings that there's something else going on as well, too, okay? There are rumblings that he's had problems with this all off season, and that he's it's driving him mad. I don't have anything other than
well, I mean, I think that's fair. It has bothered him all off season. No OTAs, no minicamp, and no preseason. So, I mean, I don't think there's any secret there. I think that's straight up fact.
Now the question becomes, now that he's had this done, you know, typically, I guess, with scopes, of course, we don't play doctors. We only play them on Twitter. You know, only what, 10 to 14 days, I guess, recovery time, and then start easing back to action. Tomlin would have you believe that you know, that's about the time frame that he hopes to get him kind of working back. But you know, Keith Butler also said yesterday that James Harrison is a guy that needs reps. He needs work.
Now, that was surprising to me.
Well,
did that surprise you?
I think maybe he was meaning it from a conditioning standpoint, because let's face it, first game of the year. Allen Robinson only put a small quote in there, so we don't have context to know.
Yeah, I tell you, it might be the most surprising thing I heard somebody say in training camp.
And you know, like I said, I don't know the context. It was just a small quote there. Maybe it's in relation to the first week being in Denver and that thin air. I know there is a quote out there from Butler on that, saying that, hey, that thin air out in Denver is no joke, because Butler, of course, played for the Seahawks and played at Denver several times during his playing career. But, you know, this is a guy in Harrison that's going to miss probably all the preseason now. I don't see how he plays in any other preseason, and that they're hoping at best to probably get ready for the week one game in Denver. And even if he does play in Denver, he's not going to play all 60, 50 whatever snaps on defensive side of the ball, even if he does suit up.
Yep. I think all of that's right. So we'll see what happens with Harrison. Again, like the Wallace story, there'll be no news until there's news, but it's going to be a couple weeks now.
And they're going to repackage this too. Get ready for them to repackage this several times over the next 3 weeks.
Well, and you know, we talk a lot about how there's, you know, the cone of silence and the cloak of secrecy, to get all my terms in here, about the Steelers and their injuries. On the good news, we got good news twice this week. And the first one that I think we talked about on Tuesday while we were doing the show was Max Starks coming off the PUP list. Now, Max has come off early here. I think maybe we jumped the gun a little bit thinking that he'd be ready to start kind of fully participating in drills next week. It looks like he's going to put the pads on, but maybe work by himself today. He's done with his acclimation period. I asked Mike Tomlin, is there any chance he plays or even dresses on Sunday? He said, we'll see how he looks over these next 4 or 5 days. But that seems to have been maybe not the right answer. The right answer is, I think, a definitive no, right?
Yeah, Mike Tomlin, we're going to have to learn to adjust our decoder rings when it.
I'm going to have him put his right hand up when he's.
Yeah, playing. Exactly. Yeah, and Max pretty much. And you know what? Tomlin's getting sick and tired of his players talking about injuries too. That's another thing that I think.
You know, that's tough because, guys are sticking the mics right in their face. And I know I haven't talked to a lot of players during camp, but, guys sit there and ask them. So,
hey, Belichick's gotten good at getting his players not to talk about them. So, I don't know. But, Starks came out yesterday and said, whoa, no, I'm nowhere close, basically, is what he said.
But so, he said he was nowhere close to coming off the PUP list on Saturday, and it came off on Tuesday. So, again.
Yeah, but I mean, he hasn't worked yet this week either. So to expect him, and what's today? I mean,
he's not playing Sunday. There's no chance.
I mean, what are they realistically going to get done today? I mean, isn't the softball game tonight, the home run derby, and all like that? I mean, this is the last day, technically. I mean,
they'll get their work in. They only have so many practices. They'll get their work in. But yeah, I'm with you, and I don't even think. I think he's going to work by himself on the side with his helmet on. I don't think he's going to get in any of these team drills. So, but Dave, the good news, I think the really encouraging news is that Mike Adams was back yesterday. Yesterday, Thursday, the injury happened on Thursday, so that means a six-day recovery period. He worked in with the first team. Gilbert started at left tackle, flipped back to the right side. Mike Adams took some snaps at left tackle. I had fully ruled him out as being a potential starter against Denver in week one. I still would lean that way, heavily lean that way, and think Max, assuming Max gets back sometime in the next 10 days, then it's probably Max's job. But with Adams only missing 5 practices instead of, say, 7 or 8, is it out of the question? Well, now it's not out of the question. And that was really encouraging news, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was. Well, and also Jonathan Dwyer back in pads yesterday as well, too, with that shoulder, sprained shoulder. But, yeah, with Mike.
Mark Cabali said he looked awfully good, which is, all of a sudden the running back position was looking a tad thin there for a day or two.
Absolutely. The words he used is slim, quick, and crisp, not words that normally are used with Jonathan Dwyer or adjectives.
right.
So I did find that quite amusing. But, yeah, with Adams, I don't know, David. I mean, Tomlin said Dwyer specifically was going to get work back into the mix for Sunday. So, I mean, I like the chances of him being able to play against the Colts. He really didn't say anything about Adams, though. So, you think that Mike would lean on the side of I guess if he's moving around. I mean, he had that brace on evidently, so
if he's taking the reps in practice, he can take them in the games. I got in a little heated baseball situation yesterday where we were talking about using guys. I mean, I don't think Mike Tomlin put guys in a full contact, 11-on-11 work, if he's not ready to go. And if he can do that, then he can probably go Sunday. If the first work were yesterday, were today, I might question it a little bit. But if he gets today, yesterday and today in, I think he probably goes.
Yeah, and he'll go second team, as you said, at left tackle there. So however many, it would be nice to get him a good 10 to 12 snaps.
Yeah, exactly. If he can get, what did he get in game one, 17, did you say?
Yeah, something like that. I don't have it in front of me right now. But, yeah, before he went out with the knee injury there. So,
if he gets the second quarter of snaps, maybe a couple in the third quarter, you know, get to somewhere between 10 and 20. And I'm sure Marcus Gilbert's going to get double time this week. He's going to get those 10 to 15 snaps on the left side, or maybe 20 snaps on the left side, just in case. And then he's probably going to get 20 snaps on the right side to make sure he's getting his work over there.
Yeah, I would expect half, you know, up to probably 20 to 30 snaps from Marcus Gilbert on both sides there. And Ramon Foster will start at right tackle, and then he'll shift over to one of the guard spots and mop up there. Trey Essex, I mean, are they really going to work four tackles? I mean, I suppose you could get four left tackles worked in this game. You could start off with Gilbert for a quarter. You could start off with Mike Adams for a quarter. You could go to Trey Essex for a quarter, and then you could go to Kelvin Beachum. So that very well might could be the plan.
I don't think anybody's worried about Beachum getting snaps at tackle. Whether that.
Well, you know, an interesting point, though. You know, I think they're looking at Beachum real, real hard during this preseason to see if they can run Trey Essex. You know, to save
cut Trey Essex.
Yeah, I really think that's kind of how they're working it, because you've got your right side utility guys pretty much taken care of, especially if Foster gives you anything at right tackle in this game. So
yeah, well, we know who eight of the guys are going to be. I mean, it's a lockdown. I mean, you've got the starting five, and Mike Adams is six, and you got Ligurski's going to make it, and Foster's going to make it. So that's eight. So, you know, that ninth spot is either Trey or Beachum, or I'm not sure there's anybody else even in the conversation. So I would still think Beachum probably take it into the practice squad. But, yeah, you know, they'll save a little money, I guess. And Trey has not been great in practice, obviously.
Right. You got to remember, too, you're going to dress only seven of those guys on game day. So, it's much easier to, you know,
and Ligurski's one of them and Ramon's going to be the other. I mean, you know, Mike Adams isn't going to dress unless he's going to play probably.
Well, yeah, Mike Adams initially, you know, it depends on what they flip flop where, you know, if he's healthy and he's your, you know, and he's your left tackle, behind, Starks, then yeah, he's going to dress more than likely.
I guess so, because I guess if Gilbert goes down, they can flip Max over. The question is, you know, the only problem with Mike Adams, if you dress him, is there's only one spot for him to play. And if you dress Ramon instead of Mike Adams, you can have Gilbert flip to the left side and dress Ramon on the right, or play Ramon on the right. So that might be the issue. The other thing is, you know, maybe if they're in games, and maybe this is the one occasion where they might dress eight, if they want to kind of get Mike Adams snaps as the in the early part of the season, as the season goes on. So,
well, the thing about it though is with these injuries lining up the way they are with those linebackers right now, they're going to be hard pressed. I've done some, yeah, believe this, I've done mock inactive lists for week one already. you know,
well, yeah, you know, both those guys are coming off the PUP list. Put it this way, neither of those guys are going to be put on the PUP list week one, because they're not going to sit him for six games. I mean, Harrison certainly not. I mean, Worlds would have to have an injury that we have no understanding of at this point if he goes PUP week one. What is the latest? Let's flip over and talk about those guys. What is the latest on Jason?
Keith Butler came out in that same conversation yesterday that Allen Robinson talked about and said, this is a guy, best case scenario, ready for Denver. So read into that what you will.
And that's what he said kind of out of the shoot. And again, he's a guy who Butler said needed the reps, needed
exactly.
The mental. So, yep, that's an issue. But, yeah, okay, so, you know, and the last injury thing, just to get it out of the way, Isaac Redman, that's the guy that Mike bitch slapped, to use the technical term, saying, you know, he shouldn't be talking about his injuries and his MRI. I guess he had the MRI. I assume that was just for mental health purposes, so he could feel like he's fine. He had a hip flexor, but I guess he was practicing yesterday, and we expect to see him Sunday, right?
No, he did not work yesterday.
Oh, he didn't work at all yesterday?
No. He had the jersey on, but he did not have the pads on. He also said the injury's not serious, and he hopes to be back next week. So he's
not going to go.
Yeah, they shut Redmond down I would be surprised if he works any today. He, like I said, he just had the jersey. There's a picture of him just sitting on the cooler from yesterday with just a jersey top on. So,
all right. So the backs on Sunday night will be
Dwyer,
Batch, Rainey, and then Jason Ford.
Correct. And then I expect Will Johnson to get a rock tote in there once or twice as well, too.
Yep. Okay.
And I guess I'm guessing your fullback will be you made it out there since the Will Johnson injury the reports are, I guess, Jamie McCoy's working with the running backs now.
You mean the David Johnson injury?
I mean,
right?
David, what did I say?
Will.
Okay. Yeah.
I was out there Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So, yep.
Is it safe to say that Jamie McCoy is the backup fullback to Will Johnson now?
The kid they signed, what, Justin Pell?
Justin Peel. They're listing him as a tight end, and I think Bouchette or one of those guys said that's where all of his reps are likely going to come as tight end.
Yeah, I would think they'll both get – I think he and McCoy, they are listing him as a tight end, but don't be surprised if they move him around. I mean, we'll see what happens. The one thing I didn't get a chance to talk to Todd Haley on Thursday, that's the only kind of thing I missed. But I do know, and I talked about it with Mark Cabali on my interview on the on 970. We talked about Haley said he's going to put his best 11 on the field. Now, they haven't used any four wide receiver sets here in the preseason. None, like literally none. And the point is, when your fourth receiver is Derek Williams or Tyler Byler or whatever, you've got better players in other positions. So oftentimes it was David Johnson or Will Johnson, or you'd line up with Rainey in a different formation, or you'd do different things. So, that's where Mike Wallace will have an impact when Jericho Kotchi becomes the fourth wide receiver, and then your four wide receiver set becomes a lot more dangerous than it would be otherwise. So we'll see how those guys play in the backfield. But, yeah, I will be interested to see how Todd Haley implements the offense, because we saw a lot more of throwing the ball downfield this week than we saw the first 3 weeks of practice. That's one thing that I'll be keying on.
Yeah, speaking of things, I guess we can kind of segue into kind of things we are expecting to see Sunday night against the Colts. You're saying that they worked a lot on the passing game this week. Do you think that is just part of the plan of Haley this week? Do you think we're going to see him try to stretch the field more, especially the starting unit this week against the Colts?
Yeah. I mean, the answer versus more is, well, it can't be less. I mean, it's he threw two balls to wide receivers. One was on a scramble to Sanders, and the other was the out to Antonio Brown. So yeah, I think we'll see him air it out a little bit.
The other couple were dump offs. What a couple to Will Johnson and on that first 15 play drive.
Yep. I think you'll see the starters go a quarter at least, maybe a little bit more than a quarter, a couple drives probably. It's more plays than drives. So if the first 20 plays again, maybe they only go one drive. But yeah, I think we'll see that stuff. And I guess the guys to watch now this week, offensively, again, all the focus will be on the offensive line, the running backs, and how the fullback is utilized. And that's pretty straightforward stuff. I think the more interesting, not that that's not interesting, but maybe the more interesting stuff that you've talked a lot about is to see who gets reps where in the linebacking core. I think the front seven is probably set for making the team. Al Woods will be the seventh guy. And if they dress six, Ta'amu will be the inactive guy. I'll be surprised if he's active at any point this year, to be honest with you. But he's going to make the team, obviously. And Corbin Bryant's probably the guy who goes to the practice squad. But the linebacker stuff is, as you pointed out, a lot more wide open because of the injury concerns.
Absolutely, and do you keep eight or do you keep nine? It's all gonna all that shakes out with the injuries to Harrison and Worlds. David Johnson and Stevenson Sylvester, watching them rotate, see if they rotate again outside. They're behind Lamar Woodley at left outside linebacker this week. Are you getting the sense Brandon Johnson is going to make this roster? Do you think
they're He's been a better player this week in camp, the 2 days that I saw, and Saturday and Sunday, so I guess the 4 days. And obviously he played pretty well on Thursday. The other thing of note is this is more positional than maybe Brandon – that's talking about Brandon Johnson. But he was calling the defensive signals because he was playing that role with the second team a couple times this week. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's a lot more likely. They signed him for a reason. They liked him. As I said, the first 2 weeks of camp, I thought he was terrible. But much better here recently.
Well, he didn't know the system either. You got to remember, he got signed like the last day of mini camp, and then he shows up to training camp with probably just watching one practice underneath his belt. So he, you know, probably still acclimating himself to the defense. I'm kind of fluxed on him, David. I just this linebacker thing's just got me all screwed up because of the injuries. But you know, Sylvester and him taking reps, rotating again is something to look for against the Colts. Inside, I think it's easy to choose. I mean, you got Foot, you got Timmons, you got Spence. Those three guys right there, along with possibly Sylvester making the roster. When you flip over to the other side, you know, Chris Carter really, if Harrison and Worlds are down to start the season, you know, let's say they're inactive, you know, Chris Carter's really the only guy, unless you're going to, you know, Morty Ivey backed him up this past week. Adrian Robinson, who I wrote a piece up on him this morning up on Steelers Depot, he worked only on the left side last week, and it'll be – here's one thing to watch for. You know, it's obvious that Adrian Robinson's got a motor. We saw that in that game against the Eagles. In fact, I went back and charted that. I think it was 5 pressures in 20-something snaps that he had in that game. 2 quarterback hits, and he should have got credit for a half a tackle in addition there. But will they give him some reps on the right side this week after Chris Carter leaves? Because Adrian Robinson, that's where he's used to playing at Temple, was on the right side. So, you know, that's definitely something to look at this week as far as the linebackers go into this game against Indianapolis.
Yeah, and these two games are going to determine those last 5 to 7 roster spots, this game and then get the game against Buffalo next Saturday. So guys like Adrian Robinson, guys like Robert Golden, David Cromartie-Smith, you know, there's a list of guys who, how they perform in these next two games, obviously all the backup receivers. We can probably ink 48 names right now. But, you know, there's some people who don't think Will Allen's a lock. There's, you know, David Cromartie-Smith is a question mark. Adrian Robinson is a guy, if he plays great the next two games, maybe they don't want to put him on the waiver wire and you know, let somebody else have a crack at him. So, and then, of course, there's the money issue with that. If, all things being equal, if you can save $700,000 or $1.5 million, the Steelers should do that. And if they're doing that, they're obviously leaning to the younger player and the obvious advantages that go with that. So, this is fun football here, these next two games. And, well, Sunday night should be a fun time. And Andrew Luck comes to town, and unfortunately I'm out of town. But that's a, you know, if you're going to get to see an exhibition game at home, pretty entertaining to watch Andrew Luck go on the road for the first time in his professional career.
Yeah, do they have TVs in Montana?
They do. They got one. I've reserved it.
Nice. You know, the thing with also, you know, that interview that you sent me that you had with Carnell Lake, I believe that's from a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, it was about 10 days.
An interesting that thing that stuck out in that, aside of him panting the whole time that you're talking to him, poor guy just got done running and you shoved the microphone in his face. But the interesting thing that he said in that interview when you asked him about if there was any guys that worked that were trying to work in, I guess, at both corner and safety, he named Will Allen really as the only guy, you know, safety-wise, I think that was doing that. I found that quite interesting from that interview. You know, a lot of people have been speculating, well, Keenan Lewis can move to safety. Well, Cortez Allen can move to safety.
Keenan Lewis isn't moving to safety this year.
No.
He might move to safety 3 years from now. But.
Right, and a lot of people are, you know, trying to, you know how the message board speculation goes. I mean, it's just longer than 140 characters that you see on Twitter. But yeah, that's, you know, that is not something that they actively work on. I think people think, well, you know, working on this guy at safety here in practice, that's not how it goes. These guys are mastering their own positions right now, and he only named Will Allen as a guy that could probably kind of work in the slot as maybe, let's say, a nickel corner if it came to it because of injuries or something like that. So, you know, it's another plus for Will Allen making this roster. But you know, things can happen. This Robert Golden kid, although it's really hard to pick out anything overly productive he did on the offense, I mean, on the defensive side of the ball in that first game. Of course, not having the all 22 view doesn't help in that, especially when safeties are concerned. But he definitely was around the football on special teams quite a bit. And it looks like he takes good angles as far as tackles, a few tackles that he made in that game as well. So, you know, but still right now I would have to think Robert Golden, even with the Steelers keeping five safeties, possibility of them keeping five safeties out of training camp because of Ryan Clark being down week one, you know, I'm still kind of leaning towards Robert Golden on the practice squad right now and Adrian Robinson as well. Until I, you know, I get a bigger reason as to why not to.
Right. I mean, we're going to have to, you know, that's what these two games are going to do. I mean, for you, you've talked to everybody and heard a lot, but you've seen, you know, four quarters of football. In 10 days, you will have seen, 12 quarters of football. There's a lot more data there. And I found this interesting, but I heard it time and time again. The only guy who kind of didn't maybe follow this credo exactly was Keith Butler, but every one of these guys, coaches, and started with Mike Tomlin, has said what they do under the lights in the stadiums is very important. And I've, you know, you heard it said time and time again, and you believe it. So, you know, they basically 10 days from now, they will have done, you know, they'll have three games in versus one. So there's a lot more data points for us to parse.
Absolutely. And, you know, they tell these guys all the time, look, the more you can get done on film, the more, you know, if for some reason they're not to make the club here. You know, they've got themselves on film to get around to hopefully get themselves signed somewhere else. But, yeah, definitely, you know, some things we hit on linebackers. I mean, wide receivers, you even asked Tomlin day before yesterday, I believe, about the wide receivers and how that battle's going for the fifth spot. And he responded to you, you know, it depends on what day you ask me. So none of these guys have separated yet. You know, are they going to separate on special teams? We're going to see David Gilreath, I believe. Scotty Montgomery told you that that's a guy that they're kind of excited to take a look at this week as well. Will Tyler Byler get some reps with an earlier team? You know, will any of these young guys step out? I don't think Marquise Mays is going to make this 53-man roster. I just don't think he gives you enough. You know, it's going to have to be in a Stephon Logan punt returner type role. And to me, you just cannot tie your roster spot up with a specialist right now.
He'd probably have a better chance if this makes sense. Maybe it doesn't make sense. I'm thinking about it as I say it. I'm wondering if he has a better chance if Mike Wallace is in camp. But, you know, the problem is, and I no longer include Baron Batch in kind of this conversation, but Marquise Mays is very similar player to Chris Rainey. He's a receiver versus a guy who's going to be a back and a slot guy, but they're the same build. They bring the same thing on special teams. So, you know, if they're going to use Chris Rainey on special teams. That's just the way it's going to be. So, yeah, I agree with you. He's not going to make the team. But I also think he is for sure going to make the practice squad if he doesn't get picked up by somebody else.
That's interesting. I don't even have him on my practice squad right now. So it's something definitely to watch over these next few games. I mean, he looked okay in the punt return, but outside of that, we don't have much to go
He's
on.
He's looked good in practice. This week, I said all those guys looked a lot better this week in practice, the backup receivers. Marquise Mays, he can catch the ball. He can get open and catch the ball. So it will be interesting to see if he gets reps with the second team and how they use him.
The thing, you know, Willie Colon, obviously, first game back at left guard. I know Tater did an article on that. I think that's something definitely to pay attention to, how they're able to run. You know, hopefully they're able to work on the running game some. I know they've got the injured backs. I know Ed Bouchette is pointing to them using, concentrating more on the passing game. Especially the first teamers, and that makes sense. But hopefully they get enough of that power to the right to see Willie Colon work out of that left guard spot for the first time. And Cameron Hayward, too. Cameron Hayward didn't play in that first game last week against the Eagles. It's going to be interesting to see him on the field. Brett Kiesel, first game back on the field, because he missed last week as well. And you got to remember that first team defense last week, a lot five of those guys only played three snaps. So that was Troy, that was Ryan Clark, Lamar Woodley, Ike Taylor, Ziggy. So, you know, we're going to get an extended look at those guys this week as well, too, I would think, on the defensive side of the football.
Right. Yeah, it'll be good to see. I mean, Hayward's been great in practice. I guess we had another scrap yesterday.
Yeah, him and Pouncey and then Adams had to go dabble in it a little bit, too. Mark Cabali had the fight card with a couple of rights thrown by each player on that.
Right,
so,
right.
So I think yesterday, once again, we had a fight. The Steelers practice broke out.
Yeah, whatever. Okay.
They, you know, people are trying to read a lot in this. Did you read Ike Taylor's, and I can't believe Ike Taylor wrote this.
He did.
But did you?
I didn't read it. He did write it.
Somebody translated it for him, but he never used the word swerve in it. That's what.
That was the giveaway?
That's what gave it away. But, you know, I could see some of the things that Ike was trying to say in it. And Ike had Antonio Brown on his self-titled show the other night, too, down from Geo's down there, and that was quite entertaining. And the two, I believe that players can have it out on the field like that, and I can believe that after they get off the field, they can, you know, they can kiss and make up. And, you know, two highly competitive people going at it, and Ike Taylor and Antonio Brown. And, you know, Cameron Hayward's a very prideful guy, too.
They're all prideful guys with big egos, whatever.
And Pouncey, you know, Pouncey's guy's not going to take any crap. That, you know, Mark Cabal, I think he's keeping the card as the ninth fight so far.
Yeah, I think the 10th, actually. The Tunch and Wolf spent their – I filled in the second hour on Wednesday for Wolf. They spent their whole show talking about the fights and stuff. I tried to Tunch and I talked about some other stuff, but they spent their whole first hour on the fights. They didn't even talk about Harrison or the signings and stuff. And look, at the end of the day, it's just, you know, beat writers need something to write about it. The stuff gets old, but I don't whatever.
Yeah, you can't read anything into this.
No,
I mean,
whatever.
Yeah, I mean, this is the Richard Huntley versus locker.
That's back in the day.
No, I mean, believe it or not, it's not too terribly long ago, right?
Yeah, for probably what, 5 years.
Nah, longer than that, but you know, but yeah, it's nothing to that degree, in my opinion there. But you know, what else are we looking for? You know, I guess the punter situation. You know,
I got a piece of news here. This word, somebody told me, a source told me. This is the first time I've used source on this on the podcast.
That guy's a source, popular guy.
Yeah, source is he gets around. Kapanos had very minor back surgery. Now I don't know that there's such a thing as minor back surgery, but I also heard it deemed a procedure, and that, you know. Somebody told me he was going to be out most of camp. I hear he's been jogging the past couple of days, and maybe he gets back on the field next week. But so it wasn't, you know, it was a little bit more than tightness in his back. Let's put it that way.
You don't suppose it was discectomy or anything like that, do you? I mean, what else could it be?
Well, I don't know what that means. You threw a word by me here. But
holy moly! Stop the presses! Whoa! Stop the clock!
So who knows?
That's a procedure that that James Harrison had. I think I'm saying it right. Distectomy is
they don't cut it off, do they?
Huh? No, it's something about a nerve getting pinched somewhere in between.
Yeah, it could absolutely be that. You know everything I know now, so you know, take it for.
Boy, I wish I'd use bigger words.
The punting situation will be interesting to watch. Drew Butler will be the guy getting all the reps again. And, you know, it's a little different situation for Jeremy Kapanos than for James Harrison or somebody like that. You only got one of them, and he's the only guy you got on your roster. So you better be damn sure he's healthy each week, which would actually, you know, they'll never put a punter on they most likely would never put a punter on the practice squad. But there could be a situation which you'd hope you wouldn't have, and this would be later in the season, where you would have two punters or two kickers on the roster for a game if you were concerned about something. But, Yeah, you know, it's yeah, Butler punts well again. All of a sudden, Kapanos in a little bit of trouble.
Discectomy, surgical remover of a herniated disc.
Oh, no, he didn't have that. That's serious.
Material that presses on a nerve root or on the spinal cord. I mean, that's what Harrison had. You know, he...
Discectomy.
Discectomy.
Oh, yes. Maybe you were just pronouncing it different than I'm used to.
Well, I might have said discectomy, didn't I?
all right. I'm
that,
sure
that sounds listener... like, that's like that sounds like something you have done to see...
Yeah, I said don't cut it off. I didn't cut it off.
Okay, all right. All right, score one back for you. But, yeah, okay, maybe he didn't have that done then.
But I do think the other thing to watch, something to be watched is, you know, we'll count the numbers and get the participation stuff going on special teams, see who's involved in that and who does what. Because, you know, as we talk about all the time, those last couple roster spots are going to be special team spots. So we'll see who's getting the call to play those. You know, Curtis Brown's going to be a guy on special teams. Brandon Johnson's going to be a guy probably on special teams. And then you can throw in a bunch of linebackers and defensive backs and probably a receiver or two. And we'll see who does well.
And, you know, Wexel had a piece on his site, an interview, some quotes from Al Everest basically stating that, hey, you know, you can't read too much of what you're seeing in the special teams right now because Al Everest is trying to see what different people can do in different positions in a game right now. So, you know, he's trying to line people up at all different positions, you know, to give people a chance to show what they can do on special teams. Let's face it, a lot of these guys, it's the only way that they're going to make the roster, especially these undrafted guys. So,
yep.
You know, and even that's only going to likely be one or two at the most. So, you know, he's trying to work everybody in, you know, the guys like the Cromartie Smiths as well, too. So, you know, don't read too much into where people, what groups these guys are playing in outside of, I think, who was it that, I think Mike Pursuta said he noted that Baron Batch, Sean Spence, and maybe one other person were on every team's unit, punt return, kickoff, punt. Term and all like that. Those guys are working in their positions, but everything outside of that, and perhaps everything outside of what Ryan Mundy and Will Allen are included on, I think it's hard to read into at all until you get into the dress rehearsal game, which is the third preseason game. That's when I really...
Well, you know, let's not discount this game. I mean, this game matters. Guys are going to get snaps.
Right. I mean, they're going to get snaps, but I wouldn't read too much of trying to go through and take a snapshot of each special teams unit.
Yes, correct, because they're going to mix and match, right.
Right. I think the third game is when you want to take a snapshot of see where people are lining up, because that's the dress rehearsal right there. That's what...
Well, but I also think in the fourth game, special teams will be the one thing that really does make a difference again. Nope. Those guys are all fighting for roster spots, and the special team stuff will matter.
Yeah, but I still would think you want to look at the guys that you think are most likely going to make the 53 as many times as you can in that game.
Yep. No question.
Hello?
Yeah, no question.
What else we got? We've covered quite a bit here.
Yeah, you know, I don't know that there's much else. We, you know, as we said, we can only talk about practice, you know, can only talk about 2 hours of practice every day for about 5 hours a day. So
what is your takeaway? You saw, I mean, this is the most time that you've ever spent out at, you know, Latrobe.
Oh, yeah. You know, once I was there for a second day, you know, I've been out there before, but I haven't been out there kind of critiquing. I'll tell you what, just this simply, going out there every day for 2.5 hours would bore you. I mean, it's going to, you just, there are a lot of things to watch, but there's only so much kind of hand position and teaching and technique stuff that you see repetitively that is actually interesting. The first time it's interesting, the third time it's a lot less interesting. You know, the entertaining stuff is certainly when they go 7-on-7 or 7-on-8 or 11-on-11. That's great stuff. And watching the one-on-one matchups is great. That's all fun stuff. But there's a lot of other stuff that happens out there. So, you know, it's like watching a golf tournament on television versus watching a golf tournament when you're there. When you're there, you see three shots and you wait 15 minutes and you just see three more shots, or you walk with a guy and, you know, you see him hit shots, but he's walking in between. Practice, there are moments of great activity, and there are moments of less interest. So I was impressed. I think the Steelers think camp went really well. I don't have enough to kind of compare it to the past 20 years like some of the other beat writers do, but Tomlin is a presence. Those guys are teaching. They're having fun out there. I'm not surprised about the scraps. I guess the number's a lot higher than in years past, so you know it is something to talk about. But I think guys do good work. I guess one of the, Dave, I think the thing that maybe surprised me, what surprised me most? I mean, a lot of the guys aren't as big as you might be led to believe.
Well, certainly, I mean, let's go to this angle. Throw me two guys, throw me two camp phenoms on defense, and throw me two camp phenoms on offense, because everybody likes to talk in those terms.
Yeah, well, hey, just immediately, the first thing that impressed me was Antonio Brown. I mean, the top two receivers, Brown and Sanders, I mean, you can really see how good they are. And when you don't, you know, I've watched a lot of football, and you see it in the game, but everybody's, you know, you can just see how talented he is. And I would say on the other side of the ball, it was Lamar Woodley, and I haven't seen a lot of Lamar Woodley. But just the first couple of days of camp, you just saw how big and fast he was, and that stuff is really impressive. And it might even be, you know, when they're in their shells, you know, with shorts on and stuff, you just, you know, you see him beat a guy. It's that stuff up close was those two guys, the skill level of those guys really jumped out of the young guys. I mean, it's repetitive, but Chris Rainey, has been, he has touched the ball a ton of times. The fact that he can carry the ball between the tackles will be a huge asset, because defenses won't be able to just game him as a guy who's going to chip and go out, or just go out into a pattern or be in the slot. So if he can actually carry the ball between the tackles, it makes it a lot harder for the defenses to scheme against that offense. And I think that's one of the reasons we saw it so much in camp. And then the other guys, I mean, McClendon and Hayward and Ziggy, maybe to a lesser extent, those guys stood out. The corners, you know, I thought Keenan and Ike were Keenan and Cortez were good. I mean, you know, really good. I thought they had been solid all camp. So those are kind of names of guys who stood out. A little harder for me to see the stuff on the offensive line in terms of how guys stood out. But those are the names I would throw at you so far.
Interesting and great. You know, it was good to have you out in coverage too. And I know it's hard to watch and then tweet and then watch and
right. Yes, you know, because you have almost enough time when they're doing plays, because you know you watch the play, you try to tweet it, and they're up and they're in the formation, and you can't, you know, you're trying to figure out the personnel in about 2 seconds, and they're running a play again. So yeah, you want to do it in batches more. You know, you should probably take notes. You know, a lot of these guys take notes and then tweet it later. So you know, there are different ways to go about it. But yeah,
and it's dangerous as a fan, you know, to, although we love to see them come out rapid fire like that, it's dangerous to sit there and hang on every tweet, because you know there's so much that's not.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not watching film. I mean, you know, I'm watching, you know, three. You know, if I follow the football, then I missed all the blocking. If I follow the blocking, I missed the football. And you know, it's all those things. That's why coaches don't give you, you know, long-winded answers on guys' performance immediately after the game. They can't watch it all either.
Right. Exactly. Well, but you did a good job, and I know several people appreciate what you did out there. I thought it was excellent. I thought the interviews, you had some outstanding interviews with Butler, with Blake, Kugler, good interviews and on. That's the type of stuff that I thrive on myself throughout training camp, is hearing some of these coaches talk.
That's good fun.
You know, hearing some of these coaches talk, that once the season starts, I mean, we'll hear from the defensive coordinators and Tomlin, of course, but you very rarely get to hear from Carnell Lake, from Scotty Montgomery, from Keith Butler, and that's a great kind of stuff.
Yep, good. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. And it's like I said, I think if everything goes right, I'm going to be doing this all through the season. We'll be on ESPN 2-4. We're nailing down some of the details, so I don't want to talk about it too publicly, but it looks like we might be headed that direction, so more of the same.
And you just did.
And I just did. We'll keep everybody keep their fingers crossed for me.
Absolutely. No one deserves it more. So you want to take us out? Well, as usual, follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. Follow David at Hammer Speaks. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. You can email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. I threw out it for anybody that listens to this and doesn't get to listen to the wrap-up show from last night. My wrap-up show tonight will be a wrap-up of training camp, and I'm answering nothing but questions that come in. So if you got a question, send it to theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. Give me your name, where you're listening from, how you're listening. If you got a Twitter handle you want thrown out there, send me that, and we'll use that as topics of discussion tonight on the final training camp wrap-up podcast. So, David?
Yeah, great job with those as well and keeping them updated. Appreciate all the donations. We got some more this week. Much appreciated, Dave. And always, well, how about this, Dave? We will go to our three podcasts a week scheduled the week before the Denver game. So we will go two next week, two the following week, or two a week, and then we will go to the three a week format leading into the Denver game. We'll go Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
I'm sold.
All right. As always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.